It is 8:38, and right now we are going to the phones where we are joined by Stephen Black. He is the author of Freedom Realized, Finding Freedom from Homosexuality and Living a Life Free from Labels. Stephen, welcome to the Wake Up Call Morning Show.
Morning.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you with.
And in this culture, certainly a sensitive topic that sometimes you've got to tread carefully on. But tell us about your background and how you came to write this book.
Yeah, well, it started in my life as a radical transformative experience with Jesus Christ as he became the Lord of my life in 1983. I had been raised in parochial school. I was raised Catholic, and unfortunately, I was one of those very classic, about 55-60% of the males that we ministered to, molested as a little boy. My parents' priest told me it was okay to be gay and that I should be gay. And so I lived in a world of confusion. So by the time I was a teenager, I had all these people telling me I was a queer, a sissy, a faggot, and beaten. And it led me into the culture, at that time in the 70s, kind of a subculture of Oklahoma City. It wasn't out and loud and proud like it is today. But I had, unfortunately, some men who wanted to, quote unquote, show me the ropes, and they did. And I lived in that darkness for about 8 years. And then Jesus got a hold of my life as a result of my brother's death on Mother's Day in 1981, and I started crying out for eternity. And it wasn't until 1983 that I completely surrendered my life to the Lord, and I've been serving him ever since. That night I got saved. He said, if you do not accept me tonight, you're going to die. And I didn't know what that meant. I was in just some people's house, and they were talking about Jesus in ways I had never heard, coming and going and answering their prayers. And I thought, I need to know Jesus like these people know Jesus. And I heard this voice. He said, if you do not accept me tonight, you're going to die. Well, I received Christ that night, but that was in 1983 when we heard about this mysterious disease popping up in all the hospital. And back then it was called GRID. And so Jesus really radically saved me. And what happened is I ended up going home and praying over the Bible that night. And when I did, I literally, you know, it was this giant family table Bible. And I prayed over that thing. I didn't know where to look because the priest was telling me, you know, it's okay to be gay. And so I flipped that thing open, and lo and behold, it landed on Leviticus. And I remember looking at chapter 18, verse 22, and my eyes falling down on it. And I thought, oh my gosh, it was here all along. And I remember thinking, I don't know how to change. And I knelt down that night and I said, Lord, if you'll help me, I will repent. I'll change. I didn't have that language, but I will change. I want to follow you. And I have ever since. And then 3 years later, I got married to a woman. And Robin and I are celebrating almost 35 years of marriage. We have 3 adult children and 4 grandchildren. 1 child, our charity Hope, went to be with the Lord 8 years ago. Mm. And she was 21, and so honestly, that's the roughest thing I've gone through in my life compared to all of the horrible stuff in homosexuality. So learning how to live for Jesus through suffering in my flesh, but also suffering in the deepest ways possible.
And one of the persistent narratives that we hear in our culture, Stephen, is that this is biological, people are born this way, even though there's really not the science to back that up. That is nonetheless the narrative that's given in our culture, and that to try to change people is wrong, you're changing their basic nature and things like that. Obviously, your experience counters that, and not just yours, but you have found and done a study here showing many people who are finding freedom from homosexuality.
In 2012, when Alan Chambers, the president of Exodus, began telling everybody that no one changes, well, we knew different at First Stone Ministries, and we had 25 years of client folders. And so I decided, well, where are all these people? And so we contacted them, 1,200 people, and we were able to make good contact with 500 of them. 185 of them committed to fill out the survey, which is a really great number. My statistician told me if I had 50, you'll know what the percentages are. Well, at the end of that study, we found that 73% of people that gave at least 1 year of their life to really good pastoral care, discipleship, and support groups, those people walked away living their lives completely surrendered to Jesus, and they didn't wear a label like gay Christian. They were people that went on to live productive, surrendered lives to Christ.
Now, what about those that try to pull away from that lifestyle, but then go back to it?
I know a lot about that because, you know, I've been on the front lines of this for over 30 years. When you dig into somebody's reason and causality, there's traumas in their lives that have not been resolved. They need further counseling, healing. You know, they need therapy, but they need really good experiential love of God that comes in and reorders their internal world of thinking and their desires and their lusts. The Bible says this is an unnatural affection. And so they need help, as I needed help. And so I have great compassion for that. But these people that go back, when you actually do the inventory, and even those that are with the leaders of Exodus and many of those people, they mock it now and even laugh and are very frivolous about their use of pornography and fantasy and masturbation. And the science is on our side. We now know that the neural pathways of the brain are ingrained with the use of pornography. It acts brain. And you can't get out of that bondage if you're continuing to see sin. And so when you resolve these conflicts and you deal with the necessary boundaries, you really can find lasting freedom. And I know hundreds personally, men that I've ministered to over the last 30 years that have found lasting freedom. And, you know, the biological component, the largest study that was ever conducted was just 2 years ago. It was called the Genome-Wide Associative Study with over 470,000 people were in that study, and they conclusively showed that there is no genetic disposition, there is no DNA, there is no physical construct in the human body that gives a propensity towards homosexuality. And so we definitely know that there are environmental factors that people need to resolve, and unfortunately, those that go back do not resolve those conflicts. They go on to what they think is a peaceful existence and embracing their sin.
What about those that say, when they came out, are they truly free if they come out and just, you know, be open about it?
And that's just it. I mean, I felt a measure of great freedom in embracing gay identified life, and I thought I was happy for the first several years. But you soon find out, as is what we see in transgenderism, there's a honeymoon experience, right? It's euphoric. It's kind of like a high. And then you find out, you know, later that you're drawn into drugs or alcohol or, you know, inordinate relationships that cause even a further depression. And sadly, these people come away with being even more depressed. And the statistic transgenderism is even after the surgeries, 41%, they have the highest demographic in one subgroup of people for taking their lives. And this is even true in the Scandinavian countries, where they're 10, 20 years ahead of us in acceptance. It points to the fact that God's word is perfect, and his ways are perfect, and his divine intention for human sexuality has never changed. In the words of Jesus in Matthew 19, it's always been one man with one woman, and that's his desire. And it's not because God's a killjoy, it's because he knows what's best for us. And he's got something greater and better. But the problem is that we look at our delights and our pleasure, and we don't see that we're being sold a bill of goods that's going to bring destruction, rather than he who is the creator that has so much better for us, and that in him, in his presence, is fullness of joy. And that's what I have found in my, you know, walking this walk for 38 years with Christ.
We're talking with Stephen Black. The book is Freedom Realized, Finding Freedom from Homosexuality and Living a Life Free from Labels. And Stephen, I think we get a very sanitized version of the homosexual lifestyle in our culture today.
Yes, we do.
Understanding we're at Family Station, but can you explain some of the reality of the homosexual lifestyle that people maybe don't see and the effect that that has on people who are involved in that lifestyle?
We have hard evidence from the Center of Disease and Control when they have done the medical consequences and the psychological consequences have a way high, disproportionate rate of what would be heterosexual behavior with STDs, the problems with the bowels and colostomies and the wearing out of the body. You have women that are, you know, because women aren't as sexual, but women end up going into emotional, traumatic, broken ways of thinking and feeling and high levels of anxiety and depression. And so the suicide rates, the longer that people are in this, go up and up and up. And these are hard facts from the unbiased Centers for Disease and Control. And so when you look at this, you realize there's something really out of whack with this behavior. And it is where people, especially male homosexuals, they get into what is an addictive behavior. And it's very, very destructive. And I know this firsthand. I mean, I lived it. I lived it for 8 years. Thank God I came out when I was 22. But I have men, very powerful and very wealthy places in our city, that really wanted to have their hands on me. And you look at their lives and where it ended up for them, most of them died tragic deaths. And, you know, I'm an old guy now. I'm a grandpa. But when you look at this historically, even in my own life, I can see the history. It's not just me. The medical community, when they're honest, they will tell you the facts.
Now, it's distressing, too, that in the Christian community, you said, you know, a priest told you that it was okay. There's more and more denominations and churches that are saying it's okay. How do we combat that?
Well, that is a great question, and this is how I've been succinctly addressing it. What has happened is the American Psychological Association and the narrative of orientation has permeated the highest levels of evangelical Christianity. And I could name names, and I think people would be shocked. But the reality is that we have to get back to the fundamental of being made and created in the image of God. And this is what I say. Heterosexuality is not merely an orientation. Heterosexuality is innate. It's a biological fact. We are made in the image of God, male and female, and that will never change. And that is the natural outcome of reproduction, and humanity is heterosexuality. All of the other orientations are based on desire, identity conflict, feelings, lust, and they are inordinate, and they are dealing with, many times, places of real deep-rooted rejection, insecurity, and fear that causes this comparison thing and causes a lot of internal anxiety and fear that they're same sex. And those issues have to be resolved. But heterosexuality is not merely an orientation. It is a biological fact. We are innate, created. It is immutable. You cannot change the fact that a man is XY or a female XX. And we've got to get back to the fundamental understanding of that rather than listening to the American Psychological Association. For now, the American Medical Association has now aligned itself with the LGBTQ plus sign, and people really need to pay attention to that plus sign because it does mean something. And these new orientations that are coming out, even the medical association, are aligned with this political human secularism. It is a religion. It's based on a belief and a faith of desire, and these organizations have now bought into the political agenda to make our country, with like the Equality Act and other things that are going on, to force everyone to accept this. But we have to get back to the fact that we are created in the image of God. And I want to put a plug in for one of the best things, resources that we had. You know, my book is great, but we also have been a part of InHisImage.movie. And it is a new documentary that actually goes into great detail with testimonies and about 15 contributors with experts from the medical and theological and the identity place from a biblical worldview that the American Family Association. And I helped with that project. And we're going to be screening that also in a little town called Sydney. That answers all of these questions because people really do need answers and they need hope. And people need to know that God loves them and God will set them free if they want it. And families need to have hope in their grief and their sorrow of gay identified loved ones or loved ones that are, you know, transitioning, that God's ways are perfect. He's created us innately heterosexual, and all those other constructs, those word constructs of propping up desire, must be addressed with the Bible and a relationship with Jesus Christ.
What can churches do to minister to those who are struggling with the same-sex attraction? How can we graciously, lovingly, but also biblically minister to people and help them in that time?
The senior pastor and the leadership need to embrace, you know, the education from a biblical worldview, an orthodox worldview of human sexuality, and then they need to start talking about it, and they have to hold themselves accountable with sexual purity. I mean, my go-to verse is Ephesians 5:5, right? No one who practices any form of sexual impurity, sexual uncleanness, or greedy idolaters are going to heaven. And so we need to get back to the fundamental of that the leadership embraces a world of what I call coram Deo, which is living in the presence of God, in the fear of the Lord, which is a firm foundation that gives us wisdom. And then you educate your church community in the compassion, the mercy, because of this amazing thing called grace, that grace has been given to everyone to live a godly life, to instruct us to live righteously and godly in this present life, not just merely unmerited favor, and to empower people by the presence of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to make that shift and that transformation. So the church needs to be educated. We're being lied to. I was just part of a panel discussion this last week, and it was like 90% of the youth are people really born gay. So the lies are permeated in all of our young people and in the church, and we have to get back to really thoroughly educating people about the truth, God's word, and in that, how do people find freedom? And how they find freedom is resolving these internal world, this causality that is environmental, that is wounding, that is traumatic, and that people find a place that's safe to be able to confess and talk and receive the grace of God because we humble ourselves. And we have to create that in the church, and it begins with the leadership.
And if folks want to find out more about your book, Freedom Realized, or your ministry, Stephen, how can they do so?
Firststone.org. Now, the book has its own website, which is freedomrealized.org.
Hey, Stephen, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you guys.
You
Thank
too.
You for having me on and telling the truth.